cliffcentral.com.
Okay, so that was Michael's tune for the day. It was a good one. It had a very abrupt ending, but maybe that was for the best. Hey, Mubs, Coyote, very ugly.
You know, sometimes these things just don't work out, and that's completely fine.
Michael, do you sometimes go home and just have a bag of estrogen? I mean, where did that song come from, really?
That was like... Ooh, sorry about that. That was like the... Ooh, let me turn this down a bit. That was like the movie of my days when I was growing up. And then for like a birthday gift, my mom bought me the CD, the Coyote Ugly CD. Yeah, that's how I grew up.
Was it because of all the models in the movie that you liked it so much?
Girls dancing in bars.
Probably.
And stuff.
Like if I go back and I think of the first few movies I ever watched, Coyote Ugly's like one of them.
Oh, okay. How old were you back then? Like 12?
I must have been, no, younger. Maybe 9.
Okay. Well, there was Michael's first ever sort of spank bank memory. Coyote Ugly. Brought to you this morning as we get into the second hour. This is real, very exciting. New week, new show. Gareth will be back on Wednesday. But one thing I can give you right now, something you enjoy on a daily basis, it is none other than... Yes, it was my buddy Malloy with the news.
Okay, well, I will begin with another drug bust that took place over the weekend when a South African woman traveling from Brazil was arrested with drugs worth 2 million rand.
2 million rand of crack cocaine, wasn't it?
7 kilograms of crack cocaine, Ben, Jesus, were found in the woman's luggage during a routine check. Yeah, she was traveling from Sao Paulo. The backpack that she had on her had a special compartment with white powder, which tested positive for cocaine. The woman and the narcotics were handed over to the police for further investigation and prosecution. My question is, how much money would it take for you to consider smuggling in drugs? Considering that when you get caught, it's usually tickets for you.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Yeah. And you definitely don't want to be caught in a foreign country either because, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's countries to be caught in and there's countries not to be caught in. Either way, you're screwed.
Yeah, because, but, you know, if you are smuggling in 2 million rand worth of cocaine, I'm just wondering how much money you're going to make off of that smuggle.
I don't know. Like, is it a good ploy to go hand luggage or check in?
Because
if you've got hand luggage, right, that's, you got to scan that. It's getting searched. It's physically getting searched. Check in luggage, it goes into a little hole. It comes out of a hole. It's not stringently checked.
Yeah.
It's not going through the monitoring things. I don't know if sniffer dogs are sniffing it.
See, I have, whenever I've traveled, and this would include international trips as well, I can't remember an incident where I actually see sniffer dogs kind of sniffing around, you know, as we are processed or whatever.
Did I tell you what happened to me in Auckland one year?
No, tell me.
The sniffer dog was like borderline dry humping my leg. I was thinking, this is not good. Firstly, you got a dog humping you. Just arrived in a foreign country, now a dog's kind of humping your leg. And secondly, I was thinking, shit, does someone put something in my bag?
Ah, there is that concern, hey?
Like, you can arrive in New Zealand with dirty shoes, and they'll reprimand you something serious because you're bringing in foreign dirt or something. They're quite anal. But here was the sniffer dog, and he was all over me like a bad rash. And then the woman comes up to me, I'm like shitting myself. Like, could you get the cold sweats going, fuck, this is it. Midnight Express, I'm done here.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, sorry about that. He's just feeling a bit uppity at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe he was just liking the side of your leg, Ben.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the best leg he's ever humped.
And then I got out and had 2 kilograms of cocaine from somewhere.
Jeepers, no, that would be frightening, hey?
So, yeah, my sniffer dogs. I know in Asia, when you travel around there, always seen sniffer dogs. Yeah, like maybe not too many of them, but I don't think they're going to sniff through if you've got like a big suitcase.
It is
hand luggage. I think you're in trouble.
Yeah. It is interesting how nervous you automatically get when you see the sight of a sniffer dog, even though you know that you haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
You know, in that kind of setting, you just immediately get cold and you freeze and you think, oh, well, this is the end. But yeah, shame. This woman, he'll have to make an appearance in court, and it will probably not end well for her. 7 kilograms of cocaine.
Look, I know this is a pretty basic question. I'm sure there's a very easy answer, but what happens to that cocaine now?
That is a good question, because I'm assuming that what happens is that that woman then meets up with a handler of sorts that she then hands over the stuff to. And then from there, it makes its way to...
But now it's in police custody.
No.
The police destroy it.
Do they?
I think they burn it. I know with weed, they'll collect it, and as soon as they have so much in evidence, they'll go to a field and they'll burn the weed. And then, like, that same would happen with cocaine, firearms as well. And with regards to the woman, she would be the mule in the case. So she just takes the drugs to the other country, then someone meets her there and then takes them off her, and then it goes into drug trade.
Yeah, it's just... the transportation of drugs, and there's various avenues. I mean, this could just be the first part of the story. Now it's like, okay, the certain cop was tipped. Okay, this is me speculating again. Wild imagination.
Okay.
Can you imagine if this was the scenario, right?
Yeah.
Imagine this. So the drug person wants to get the drugs into this country, knows a cop, tips off that cop that that woman's got drugs, bust that chick, they take the drugs, hurrah, well done, police, but you got a bent cop in the system. Mm. Now it's 2 kilograms. Just me?
Sometimes it does happen like that.
I've got to be less sorted with my thoughts like this.
You know, the most innovative way that I read about how drugs were smuggled in, but maybe not so innovative because these people ended up being bust anyway, is they found £5 million worth of heroin, which was woven into carpets. They actually wove the drug into the carpets, but, you know, at the end of the day, they were still bust and they were discovered. That's pretty... you know, not standard. I mean, it beats the whole swallowing the drugs thing and then having to poo it out wherever you know.
One of the best I've seen was a ship was actually towing a submarine underwater, which was filled with drugs. That was genius, I thought.
So again, as a mule, these are things that you have to take into consideration is, what's the best way to try and smuggle these drugs in? Should I put them in my dreadlocks, as was the case with that one woman the one time?
In your earrings? Like, there's various ways,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
That's so interesting, huh? Anyway.
Okay.
Doesn't pay to do drugs, though, kids. Don't do it, and don't transport it either.
Yeah.
Just drugs are all around bad, okay?
Drugs are bad, okay? All right, so here's an interesting thing. Research by UK think tank Demos has revealed the huge scale of misogyny on social media and how much of it is actually perpetrated by women.
Ah, has this got anything to do with the Amber Heard assault allegations?
Well, it could as well, Ben, because what's since happened in that story is that a lot of people have been calling Amber Heard a gold-digging whore. I don't know how we got to that point, but okay. Basically what happened here was that Demos collected and analyzed 1.5 million tweets mentioning the words slut and whore over the period from April 2015 until May this year. So they analyzed this over a year. And basically what they've discovered is that when it comes to misogyny, 55% of the propagators are found to be women. So the women's are the one actually perpetrating this whole slut-shaming situation that happens. The research also concluded that over the last year, American rapper Iggy Azalea, UK newspaper columnist Katie Hopkins, online gamer Lee, and Hillary Clinton have received the most abuse, the most misogynistic abuse on social media.
Damn them bitches. Sorry. That's rough though, Hermovs.
It's wrong on so many levels that women are responsible for 55% of this abuse.
No, that's wrong.
Yeah.
That is wrong. Anyway, let's get on to Sean. Sean's calling in about something here. Okay, press the button there, Michael. Sean, you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Sean. How are you doing today?
Just on this drug thing, normally what they do is they'll have more than one mule, and the one carrying the least amount of drugs, they'll give them the cops a tipple. So the cops might have found 7 kgs, but what normally happens is, you know, they're very happy about the 7 kgs, but you've got 3 other mules going through with 40 kgs.
Right.
That's normally what they do. So I just thought I'd mention that. But so this poor woman, and they normally choose the, so that, you know, it's normally a first-timer or something that they'll choose as the one to be tipped off and locked away.
But it's quite a thing, though. If you go to, I don't know, you go to mule school or whatever it is, and you kind of know that, like, if you're going to take drugs, there's a very good chance that you are actually being sent as a mule. That's like playing Russian roulette with these people.
It is, yes. I was deployed all over the country, and we found that the snitches, those guys normally get paid by the drug or guys smuggling weapons and whatnot, by tipping them off with, you know, there's going to be drugs or weapons or whatever going on that route, and you'll go and have a roadblock and you'll catch these guys, not knowing that just 2 roads away there's a hell of a lot more going past you. So yeah, it's a very intricate and difficult thing to pin down. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you.
But in what capacity were you deployed all over the country? I mean, what do you do for a living, or what did you used to do for a living?
I was in the military in a operational unit. So we used to deploy all over the country and outside of the borders of the country. But yeah, so that's how I picked up on the experience I've got.
Ah, Sean, you must have seen some things, huh?
Mm. Yes.
Where are you off to right now?
I'd rather not say.
Oh, we're on a need-to-know basis. I like it.
No, I'm joking. I'm out of it now. I'm off to work. Normal work.
Normal work. Okay.
Normal work.
All right, Sean. All right, thanks for the call of it.
All right, cheers, bye-bye.
Michael, we need to find out more about Sean.
Yeah.
Okay, Mab, so women are being horrible to women on social media. So just touching on that, I was reading some stuff about that Amber Heard, okay? So
yes.
Now she wants to divorce from Johnny Depp, and now she's saying that Johnny Depp's been beating her.
Yeah.
And the first reaction, so even if a friend of mine made a very good point, even if she is lying, right?
Yeah.
The very first go-to on social media is, oh, this bitch, she's looking for attention. She no doubt was asking for it. That is the default reaction. Is infuriating. That's one of the two things that pissed me off this weekend.
Okay.
The gorilla getting shot.
Yeah.
And everyone giving Amber Heard a bad time, like she's the reason. She's the root cause here. Could possibly be Johnny the star Depp.
Yes, exactly. Because I mean, Johnny Depp is now 52 years old. So for all these past decades, people, and a lot of those people being women, have practically been in love with this guy. They're huge fans of his, and in their eyes, he can do no wrong. And so their knee-jerk reaction is to assume that Amber Heard is making the whole thing up, and it's all because she's a gold-digging whore. Mm. I find it most infuriating, you know, when I read this information that women are responsible. You know, they're the biggest number of propagators of abuse against women on social media. It's stupid. Stop it. What is wrong with you?
Exactly.
You know, so we don't depressing. Know what the story is here, but you've already decided to take sides.
Yeah.
Without actually knowing what happened. And we probably will never know what happened.
Yeah, it's a bit sad. Well, let's lighten things up a little bit with a little rap battle.
Oh.
You will go first. James Corden, David Schwimmer. James Corden to go first. James Corden's the guy that picks up celebrities and does that karaoke carpool thing, right? David Schwimmer, he was Monica Geller's brother.
And also he was Robert Kardashian in the O.J. Simpson TV series.
And he still has a dodgy hairstyle. So this is it. Drop the mic contest.
Are you sure you're ready for this, Schwimmer? Oh, yeah. Just remember, you wanted this. All right, Josh, give me a beat. Millennials, let me introduce you to this guy. His name is David. He was famous in 95, because that's when he was on TV, David. Now it's 2016, and he has no friends. Get it? No friends. Not famous ever again. He was a Kardashian on TV, but that was only for pretend. You played Robin, and that was a great combo. But you were so white, you should have probably played the Bronco. What I'm saying is, this battle's a blockbuster, so I'm sad. I know you're going to spit something like Lustra, but now you got the chance to prove you got balls, while I ignore you like Jennifer Aniston does your calls.
Oh, that was so good.
A Brit in America is your one claim to fame. We all know as an actor your roles were all the same. The heavy best friend, the humorous sidekick with a belly so big you can't find your own. Dickens, the author we all read as kids. He's British like you, but people know who he is. You must be a masochist. You want to battle me. This won't end well, mate. It's not Love Actually.
Yeah.
To be clear, I love the English. I married your kind, but why your wife chose you? My bad. She blind?
It's like a roast as well.
Oh, this is good.
Rap was born in this country. You're a tourist here. Do us a favor, James. Just change your career. Swimmer, how are you such a loser when your name rhymes with winner? You're so worn out with every role that you play. I'm like, hey, I didn't know Ross from Friends knew OJ. I'm a fast car, quickly passing you in NASCAR. I'm an animal, you just voiced one in Madagascar. Oh, he's surprised, didn't know that I could slay. What's the matter? No one told you life was gonna be this way. And one thing, you're not a true MC. Destroyed you. This was must see TV. I'm sorry this battle has left you so blue, but unlike this crowd, I'll be there for you.
This is amazing.
Destroy me? Please, your rhyme's totally blue. I worked with a monkey, had more skills than you. I'm not worried, no one heard a word that you said. The only people watch your show are asleep or dead. You're late night, I'm prime time, you're cola, I'm fine wine, go home, you're done, this battle is mine. Did you think I'd be scared? Walk around gingerly when everyone knows your middle name is Kimberly? Tall and lean, you're short and stout. They know me in Japan, they know you at In-N-Out. You embarrass your country, this was easy for me. Bitch, lay down the mic and go make me some tea. One cream, one sugar.
All right. So who is your winner?
That's
wait
tough.
A minute. We have a new contender. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rebel Wilson.
Oh man.
So this is actually a feature on James Corden's late night show, right?
Oh, that's brilliant.
This is a new feature he's created.
We don't get to see that show in this country, do we?
No. So Rebel Wilson is now checking out David Schwimmer.
Enough of this clapping. Why the hell do you want to hear two white men rapping? I'm the Rebel MC. I'm crack-a-lacking. I come pack and boom. Show these dudes what they're lacking. David, your career, it's a huge mistake. It's like Ross and Rachel. It's on a break. All jokes aside, man, I think you're great. I'm your biggest fan when I was 8. Couple karaoke, you think it's your big thing, but everyone is thinking, shut up and let Adele sing. You speak English, but you can't even rap. Your rhymes are non-existent like my inner thigh gap. Don't battle me, cause you know it's not worth it. Everybody knows my rhymes are pitch perfect.
The winner dropped the ball.
Got to head into this James Corden, right? So he's having the biggest role there. He's like this English guy who nobody really knew. He was from Gavin and Stacey.
Yeah.
He was producer of that show, and he created some things in England. But to go over to America and do what he's doing is pretty cool. So it's his show. So it's just how he finishes the show off. It's a great segment called Drop the Mic on the James Corden Late Show.
I like it. I like it a lot. And I like that carpool karaoke as well.
Yeah, it's good. But also, like, good for David Schwimmer. Huh? He had some pretty good rhymes in there.
No, he did. And good on him and, you know, Rebel Wilson and the rest of them for playing along and just having fun with it, which, you know, it's great. It's nice.
Do you guys ever think, like, would that show still be cool if you went to go watch it? Because in my views, there's no ways, like, Rebel Wilson and them can remember all those raps and stuff. I think if you go watch it live, they're doing bit by bit restarting, and you restart so much, you don't get the point anymore.
I don't know. It looked like it flowed like a one take, huh?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, if you watch the video, it looked like a one take. I'll maybe get Dory to put this up on the website as well.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a very big day for Dory.
Because what ruined my life was I used to love Gladiators when I was tiny, and then my mother took me to go watch Gladiators, and they kept stopping and starting and stopping and starting, and it just... From that day, I never liked Gladiators. It ruined my childhood.
Yeah, Michael, well, that's Gladiators. Unfortunately, it's got to do with physical activity. So we should give James Corden and his team, I think, a bit more respect.
Credit,
that.
Yeah. Also, I mean, these
better
are...
better than Granite.
These are people who...
Shadow.
These are people who learn lines and scripts for a living. I'm pretty sure it was easy for them to remember 30-second rap.
Yeah,
line.
Exactly. I mean, it's a good chance that all these guys have writing teams, right?
Yeah.
We all know Trevor Noah's got a team.
Yeah.
Kimmel's got a team. Fallon's got a team. Those rhymes are pretty much written up by someone.
Yeah, and then
bloody
they just
well,
need to memorize them and be convincing when they deliver it.
I just find it harder to learn somebody else's work as compared to my work.
Yeah, but that's why you're not an actor.
Yeah.
That's why you're here, not in Hollywood. Right, Babs, what else we got in the news?
Okay, so over in Beijing, there is a restaurant called Lu's, owned by a lady called Lulu, 27 years old. She's a divorcee, and she actually runs a restaurant with her father. But the point of this restaurant and why it's attracting all sorts of media attention is because... it is an S&M restaurant. You see, this is the thing about life is people come up with all sorts of crazy ideas, and sometimes they catch on and they attract attention, or sometimes they don't. And so drinks are served, for example, in breast-shaped cups.
Okay.
Beers are opened with bottle openers shaped like wooden penises.
Right, yeah, practical.
Yeah, the father and daughter team behind the Beijing S&M restaurant are encouraging customers to mix food with sex. Now, I know what you're thinking, but no, it's not a restaurant where you go in, eat, and then once you're done eating, they clear the table and you have sex on the table. No. It's just, you know, for example, they have mannequins in the restaurant that are wearing bondage gear. Different dishes on the menu are cleverly named. For example, you have a dish called Horny, and then you have a dish called Sensuous World. Now, Lulu says that the business has been good since opening just under a year ago, with young Chinese people streaming in to feast on seafood and lobster. Food and sex are the basic desires of humans, according to Lulu. And the phrase has not changed in more than 5,000 years. They use this as the basis of their S&M restaurant. Release your basic instincts and liberate yourself. Lu said that she was catering to a new generation of educated city residents who are increasingly willing to explore sex. Now, Chinese society has long lived behind the days when talking about sex was taboo. Now it's, you know, you can talk about it so much that you can go into an S&M restaurant. So, yeah.
Interesting point, though, that sex and food are the two biggest things that people seek out.
Yes.
Throw that into one place. Well done, Lulu.
Yeah. It works. It makes sense. And, you know, I just wonder if the staff, like the waiters, I just wonder if they're required to dress in a certain manner. I mean, if you've got mannequins in the restaurant that have got bondage gear on, I wonder what the waiters weigh. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, and also what they would have to do. I mean, are they just bringing you food, or are they just also bringing something else to the party? What's the expectation?
Well,
what are you tipping for?
Lulu is planning to ramp up the kinkiness. So, for example, she wants to put women customers in handcuffs. She wants to get male companions to feed them.
Can you imagine being fed by someone? She also wants to offer customers the chance to whip the waitresses. These are ideas that she's trying to work up towards. But yeah, spank the waitress after he brings you your food. And then after you spank him, have him feed you. And then have him handcuff you. It's great.
Cheapest.
Quite an increase in these like creative restaurants. I remember that one where everyone was naked in the restaurant.
That's in the UK.
I wonder what's next. Like, I'm sure they've got a dog restaurant where you bring your pets and your pets can eat as well. You order from like a puppy menu.
Oh, yeah,
and stuff.
I mean, that's all over the place. That's old news.
Yeah, you've got to keep up with the times, Flex.
I mean, how far are they going to go? Is there going to be like one... I don't even want to say it, but imagine there's like one where you have sex on the table while you eat.
Well, that's this place. Look, it's okay, guys. If you want to do these things, there'll always be a place for you in life. You just got to research enough on the internet and you can find exactly what you're looking for. It's out there.
And if you can find a customer base for it, then good for you. You know, some people like these kinds of things.
Yeah, well, look, fad restaurants, huh? As long as things are clean, as long as there's no rats or mice or cockroaches, you know, fair game to them. That's all I can say.
Exactly, Ben. Let's have a look at young South Africans who are doing very well for themselves. There are five South Africans who have made it onto the Forbes Africa 30 Under 30s list. Now, this list... it mostly includes entrepreneurs, and these are young people that, according to Forbes magazine, predict that they're going to be billionaires of tomorrow. Okay, so the youngest person on this list is just 19 years old. He is the CEO and founder of Latest Sightings, which is an online real-time wildlife spotting service for customers to the Kruger National Park.
Are you South African guy?
Yes, we had him in studio. Yeah.
Yes, Nadav Osendriver. Osendriver.
We made this guy.
Okay, so he is on this list of Forbes Africa 30 Under 30s. Osendriver is also nicknamed Google McDuff. He was just 15 years old when he turned to technology to feed his curiosity for wildlife spottings and established Latest Sightings. How it works is that his website uses the concept of crowdsourcing. They combine social media such as Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, and BBN groups and a website. Basically to inform Kruger visitors and enthusiasts worldwide where interesting animals and birds have just been spotted. So he's on this list. Then we've got Sia Beyile. Sorry. Now, if this
he
name...
is often found on the Ari Kelman show.
I was just going to say, if the name sounds familiar to you, it's because he is often found on Kelman on Cliff Central, and he has been put on this list. He is the founder of The Threaded Man. Can be seen as just another feature in, just another feather in his cap for the 28-year-old. He was recently chosen as the new face.
Oh, he's way younger than that.
Is he not 28?
No, he's younger than that.
I think he looks younger.
How old is he?
No, he's like 21, 22.
No, I think he is 28.
No, he's not 28.
He looks very young.
Well, then he lies to me about a lot of things.
Oh, did he tell you that he's 21?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I don't think he's 21.
We'll go with that. Sia was recently...
Sia, stop lying. Sia, just stop lying right now.
Are you not confusing this Sia with Sia Sangweni the Finn, who is actually 21?
How can I confuse anything with Sia Sangweni Finn? He's not here today, by the way. He's appearing somewhere.
Yeah, he has an appearance. This is a true story. So Sia was recently chosen as a new face of the American-Swiss campaign, which launches nationwide on the 31st of May. That's tomorrow. Okay, so that's Sia Beyile. Then we've got another designer.
He's not 28. Okay.
Then we've got another designer on the list. This is Inga Gubeka, 28 or so, unless Ben disputes it.
I don't know her.
Founder and
she was 28.
Founder and CEO of Cape Town-based design studio Indalo Decor that morphed from interior design to specialist makers. Basically, this guy makes unique products using wood, leather, and canvas. He makes backpacks, bags, clocks, and lamps. He also creates wooden accessories for cell phones and tablets, right? Then we've got a guy called Emmanuel Bonoko. He made the list for his passion for youth empowerment and serving others through education. We've got a lady on the team, Mogao Sishwene, who started the Lazy Magoti, a.k.a. the Lazy Bride. And it's basically about teaching young women how to cook traditional South African food. Because, you know, If you ever listen to the older generation, they will often accuse us of being lazy and of also having lost touch with our roots. And so this young lady decided, I am going to teach young brides how to cook authentic traditional dishes that they grew up eating. So, I mean, it's great. You know, five South Africans made it onto this list. And according to Forbes Africa magazine, we should all be keeping our eye on these guys because they are the billionaires of tomorrow.
Indeed. Sia is 22. Confirmed. I've got right in front of me.
All right. 22. Okay, Ben, then that's what it is. Sia is 22.
Because when you name something under 30, right, and someone gets your name wrong, like, you want to be as young as possible on this list because that makes you seem a lot more impressive.
I suppose. Yeah. Good job, guys. Good for you.
That's great. I thought that was the people doing well. I did not know they were expected to be billionaires in the next, like, decade or so.
Well, I mean, I think that's just a nice tag phrase that Forbes magazine includes to make it sound, you know, extra zhuzhed up. But yeah. I have no doubt that these guys are, you know, they will have some kind of success in the future. Maybe maybe they won't all become billionaires, but I mean,
yeah.
they'll definitely be successful. They're doing great things.
It's nice to put the whole billionaire word in because it sounds like, you know, glamorous and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But Michael, if they don't, they won't like be killed. Forbes won't murder them and stuff. It'll still be okay. What else we got, Mabs?
We have got a Cape Town production company that is set to release the first teaser for its new animated TV series. Do you guys like animation?
Oh, of course. Yeah,
it's great.
Michael doesn't because it's all make-believe in his mind.
The only animated movie I ever liked in my entire life is Avatar.
Okay, so...
That was more CGI, but we'll get there.
So, I mean, you're not a fan of things like South Park, for example?
Nah.
Okay, all right. So, Michael won't be interested in this, but you might. So, it's an animated TV series. It's called Squeers. It's about two gay squirrels who run a design studio and live in Cape Town. Yes, we took it there.
I'll watch that.
Yeah.
I'll watch that.
Pop the Culture, in collaboration with Zero Point Studios, are going to debut the trailer next week Monday on their social media sites. This is the first step in a marketing push to have the series picked up by a broadcaster. According to Wendy Spinks, who is the creator and producer of the show, the animated show is in development and is inspired by the pink lifestyle in Cape Town. So what they've done is they've taken a satirical but affectionate look at the lives and daily escapades of a creative duo. Their names are Neil and Artel. They are gay squirrels and they're in search of success, love and happiness, and they work in a design studio. How cute!
That is very cute.
Oh, I love it. It's brilliant.
So you have a couple of messages. Grant Michael wants to know if Anthea's segment will be downloaded every day or is just Monday? Just Monday, huh?
Just Monday.
Okay, Grant, so you can't catch Anthea's segment every single day, but you can download her Monday segments or just listen to us live or just podcast the first hour. I think that's how you get around it. On Twitter, Hines says that we can catch the James Corden show on Showmax. Showmax has confirmed that. So if you did like that rap battle we played you and karaoke carpool, you get all those shows on Showmax. And then Anushka wants to know when the first hour podcast is available, Michael.
It should be up now.
Okay, Anushka, now is the official answer there. Just staying with showbiz and TV shows, you know, we often talk about the Khaleesi and the nudity in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Well, let's get her thoughts around this. And does she watch it? Does her family watch it? Obviously, when you get onto Graham Norton, there's no secrets, right?
Closest to yourself you've ever played.
Yeah.
This
in,
is her.
In that I'm not really like Khaleesi. But sorry.
Mother of dragons.
Yes. Hello.
She looks so different with dark hair.
That's more. I'm much closer to Lou, definitely.
Because Amelia, you're in Game of Thrones, which is everywhere. It's like a Top Gear. It's in every country. But
or friends,
indeed. But I believe your parents, Amelia, were a bit worried because you didn't have that much to do in the first few episodes.
No, no. Yes, yes. So there's some episodes that maybe they're like, no, it was great, but you're sort of not really on very much, are you? But then I did encourage them to watch the last, not this last episode, but the episode before, which in hindsight might have been not the episode to choose.
Because there was a lot of you in that episode.
There was a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yes, there was.
Yes, that might be the episode to dip into, man.
There we go. Sort of place to start.
I can really see how you're doing.
Yeah.
That's Matt LeBlanc from Friends, who's now part of Top Gear.
Oh,
the new
yeah.
Top Gear.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, we've just got a far away shot, but the camera did go right in there. And did you watch it with your parents?
Yeah, let's keep it clean now, right?
Oh, no, yeah. No, I mean, did you watch it with your parents?
Yes.
Because that is quite eggy. Yeah, yeah. Did you have to leave the room, or did you all just sit there and just kind of go, okay, we're watching this?
Yeah, no, I think I probably started talking about something really important, yeah. Like Top Gear.
It is quite funny when you see these stars outside of their shows, right? Because a lot of the time are so different. Like, you know, Emilia Clarke, before she became the Khaleesi, she'd done like a couple of episodes of daytime soapy TV. Like, she had no experience.
And nobody knew who she was.
Nobody
kind of
knew she
was.
And they
didn't care. Yeah.
But she auditioned well. She said she was willing to do anything. And before you knew it, there she was, lying with a horseman.
Yeah.
With no clothes on.
Straddled him and rode him till the... Sorry, getting
to fame.
Distracted.
To fame.
But she does raise a... I mean, can you imagine being seen in a scene like that by your parents and your other family members, you know, naked, essentially?
It's one thing having the show going out, but to know you're sitting there watching with them.
Yeah, with your mum and dad.
This is orcs. It's kind of like if you actually just watch a show with your parents and there's nudity, anyone nudity, it's like...
Oh, it's just uncomfortable.
Where is you?
Yeah.
And then also imagine like her future boyfriend or husband, and then he watches this and the entire world has seen his girlfriend naked.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a reason why that person wants to kind of go out with her, because she is the Khaleesi.
But still, it must affect the boyfriend.
Yeah, well, he must get over it, how?
Yeah. What's his claim to fame?
Yeah, exactly.
Be more awkward the fact that that guy's like, I don't know, had a three-way in a pub with Rebel Wilson and James Corden.
Oh, dear.
Some dude in the UK, he's a lorry driver, he's undergone, and I've never understood why people tamper with their penises, but he's undergone two penis enlargements, and his penis is now so big that he says when he gets an erection he can't even fit his hand around it. Why do people do this?
Because people are looking,
sir, over to you.
People are looking for attention, Flex. I don't know how else to answer that question.
He said in an interview, I send friends WhatsApp pictures. I tell everybody. It's like getting a new car. You want to show it off. You know they want to get it done, but won't say that. No one wants to get it done.
Well, Michael, he might have had an absolute micro penis. I mean, he could have had a thimble, which was ruining his life. And then he
but
went...
But then two
and,
enlargements.
Well, the first one maybe was a bit skew.
What do they enlarge it with, though?
Porridge.
The procedure involves injecting processed fat into the penis to increase girth.
Okay.
So basically, polony.
They found another use for all that fat that they suck out from liposuction.
I mean, you already buy it in a tube. You're basically just looking for a new housing.
Revolting.
Okay, so something less disgusting. Russians, right? What do we know about Russians?
Well, if you're talking about Russian athletes, we know that they're all dope.
Okay.
They have bombs.
Okay, Michael, that's probably closest to what I'm looking for.
Oh.
That's what they're doing, Mubs. They're creating robots. Listen to them talk about robots in Russian. Sound excited, huh? So, like the Terminator. So, you know, like the Terminator, right? So he was a cyborg robot.
Yes.
That's what they're going to do. The Russians are actually creating this thing, okay? So Ivan the Terminator... This is the dude.
Of course.
So now he's going to be involved with Russia's military androids. So he's creating these droids that can go out into battle or used in emergency situations. Now, they obviously can't run or do anything like that, but right now they can drive cars. They're going to be programmed to use heavy artillery. They're going to be programmed to identify emergency situations. And then obviously if there's a hostage situation, they can be programmed and obviously remotely controlled as well. But, you know, this isn't fun and games anymore. The Russians are going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose some might feel a little bit nervous because it's the Russians behind it. But it's certainly interesting in terms of foresight and being innovative. Are any of these robots going to dare to wrestle the Russian President Vladimir Putin?
Oh, they wouldn't stand a chance. Yeah, no, not a chance.
Don't do that. So do we know what they plan to do with these cyborgs?
Yeah, like I said, they're going to be in military situations.
Oh, yeah.
Or they'll be used in emergency situations. Literally just to kick ass and take names afterwards, I guess. Because they'll have everything recorded in their heads.
You know that Stephen Hawking has warned us about the type of technology that we are now building and focused on. He says in the future, it's the kind of thing that could very easily backfire against us as humans.
Yeah, imagine these robots can advance their own technology faster than we can advance their technology. And now we don't understand how to fix them going rogue because they've upgraded their own technology.
Yeah, look, and there's been movies around that, but let's just take a minute here, right? Mm. We all have computers, right?
Yeah.
How often has your computer attacked you, Michael? How often is your computer suddenly just closed by itself or suddenly pulled up a porno website when someone's standing behind you?
Never.
Exactly. Computers don't go rogue. It's like there's going to be a rogue element. Someone's going to go, well, I've put in this like motherboard that can make it do this. It's going to be humans that are going to mess up the robots. The robots aren't going to magically just morph into something.
Yeah, no, the humans are always the problem usually. But the thing is, you know, because these cyborgs could potentially be a very powerful weapon, the humans will use it for all the wrong reasons, and that's when the problems will start.
Yeah, so again, because humans.
Yeah.
I also think it will affect wars because think about it. A robot killing another robot, it has no effect on us. Like, we're just going to keep sending robots to kill other robots. It's only when people are involved is when we're like, okay, wait, these countries need to actually come to a peace treating. A peace treating.
Well, a peace treating could be quite sensual. I'm here for the peace treating, please. Oh, that's rune number 4.
Thank you.
Svetlana will be there. She'll be treating you for peace.
Yeah.
Also, your peace because you have gone for the grande option.
Oh, goodness me. That deteriorated very quickly.
Very quickly. Right, Mubs, anything else in the news before we wrap it up?
Yes, we have a man in New Delhi who is obsessed with setting Guinness World Records. What he did was he got 366 flags tattooed on his body because that's sexy.
That is bizarre, like the whole body.
The picture that I'm looking at here, he's shirtless. I don't want to know what's happening under his pants because, you know, 366 flags require a lot of skin. But his latest stunt involves him having all his teeth removed because that's sensible.
Yeah.
And the reason that he did that was because he wanted to put nearly 500 drinking straws and more than 50 burning candles in his mouth to set a new record. So he had his teeth removed because really, who needs teeth?
You can't make the stuff up. You just can't make it up.
His name is Har Parkash Rishi, and he's now calling himself Guinness Rishi. He claims to have set more than 20 Guinness World Records. Born in 1942 in New Delhi, Rishi first got into the Guinness Book of World Records in 1990 when, with two friends, he rode a scooter for 1,001 hours.
I bet this guy started in spelling bees. You just know he started in spelling bees. He had a tie. He's like, right, that's something. Dedicate my life to be number one. But just getting back to the drinking straws and candles in your mouth.
Yes, 500 drinking straws and 50 burning candles in his mouth. I mean,
even the Hardy Dars can't work this out. You hear them in the background. They are just not impressed with the story, Maps.
They come at the same time every day, towards the 8th hour.
That's outrageous. I mean, drinking straws and candles in your mouth, come on, dude.
But why remove your teeth, though?
Like, what really happens? So Guinness basically go, okay, well done, here's a world record. But I heard that you've got to pay Guinness quite a lot of money to get your record ratified, basically, or certified.
Well, you've got to pay a representative to fly out and basically watch that it goes according to Guinness rules.
Yeah, they have to witness you attempting the feat before they will award you the record.
And so then you end up in some book that's got like a hologram on the front cover.
Well, that's the Guinness Book of Records, Michael. Yeah. It's a bit more than just some book. It's been around for a lot longer than you. So, but it's like, okay, so after a couple of records, do you then get financially incentivized? This is what I really want to know. So if you do know, let us know, please.
Yeah,
It's going to keep me awake at night, this.
And how do the categories work? So, for example, are there predetermined categories for Guinness World Records? If I decided that I'm going to spend the next 90 days sitting on the toilet and doing just that, is that a record in itself? Do I get to decide what to do, or are there predetermined categories for Guinness.
I think if no one's ever done it and you're the first to do it, that counts as a world record, and then people start breaking your record after that.
But it would be kind of silly, because what if someone's already been in the toilet for 90 days, right?
Yeah.
But then you go, oh, but I'll be playing a violin.
Yeah, then it's like, yeah, then it's a brand new category.
Does it make a brand new category, or is that just a silly add-on?
I don't know, because what is the point of being able to fit 500 straws and 50 candles in your mouth? Okay, and then what?
And then you light them.
There was one other day I watched on YouTube, and it blew my mind. It was a six-month-old baby water skiing, and it broke a Guinness World Record for like 52 feet or something like that.
Oh, staggering. Okay, well, as soon as the world is completely upside down, still to this day. Melps, what's happening for the rest of the day here on Cliff Central?
Okay, so coming up at 8 o'clock, or as Flex says, in the 8 hour, is the interview where Gareth chatted to South African musical theatre actress, singer and dancer Samantha
Pio.
Pio, is that how you pronounce it?
Now, you might recognize her from Strictly Come Dancing. That's where she's been most current, I suppose, on a mainstream media perspective. But Gareth will delve deeper into what she's been doing and is about.
Okay, and then from 9 to 10 is the Happy Hour with Shireen Richter. Owning Your Power is today's topic. Shireen chats to social entrepreneur Pam Green, whose online NPO Second Chances is changing hundreds of lives. She's also joined by entrepreneur Karen Schneid, who followed her passion for confectionery and started an award-winning company. Then from 10 to 11 is The Bounce Show with Ben Karpinski.
Oh, very good, yes.
Yes. A lot of stuff happening today. The first Springbok squad of the Alistair Coetzee era is announced. Ooh. The Proteas gear up for an ODI tri-series in the Caribbean. And Ben's also going to take stock of the regular football season coming to a close. Three guests will join Ben today. Do you want to tell us who they are?
Yeah, a really good guest today. We've got Dennis from Australia talking about cricket.
An Australian.
Michael, we're playing against Australia in the cricket. What must I do? Find a Nepalese
man.
You
love Australians.
Then I've got Sean from the left back. He's going to talk about the Springbok squad announcement and just the teams and the players. And then Dan from Conquer Sports is going to talk about ambidexterity. So is there any sort of pros or cons behind that? Being able to obviously do throw with right or left hand, kick with left or right boot. So that's going to be the in-depth feature today with the Conquer Sports guys.
Okay, then. After the Bounce Show is Young, Wild and Free with Manqoba Ngubo, brought to you by Versailles. Join Manqoba as he deals with young people who are making waves in their respective industries and also delves into the issues affecting today's youth. Then from 12 to 3 is a jam-packed session of The Leadership Platform with Adrian Groenewald. They're kicking things off with the Leadership Master Lesson, and today Adrian, Louis and Ellis have the Master Lesson with Dr. Danisa Baloyi, who is President of the International Women's Foundation of South Africa. Then leader interview sponsored by Sibanye Gold, and Adrian, Louis and Ellis engage in an in-depth interview with Dr. Baloyi about her leadership journey. Then at 1 o'clock, business skills conversation in association with USBED. Richard Angus is joining the panel today. Then we've got the SME interview with Tania Makumo, who is the managing director of Pluritone, a tech business based in Johannesburg. Tania talks about her journey of leading this business. And then from 3 to 4 is Futurology with the Brits. That's Brett Levy and Brett Lindsay. And today they're having a threesome. Brett 1 and Brett 2 will be joined by a third Brett. It's a tri-Brett. Brett Factor.
Now there's a Guinness World Record right there. Three Bretts in one radio show.
Three Bretts in one show, and it's a threesome today, baby. And then from 4 to 6, we wrap things up with Kelman on Cliff Central. Zalebs, because it's a Monday. We've got the Gentleman's Roundtable. We've got the Spoken Hustle. And finally, resident dietitian Natalie Matt returns for the Informed Appetite. So, yeah.
Very nice about it. Well, we've got a song coming up now, and then we're going to get straight into the Samantha Pio interview with Gareth, and then we're going to wrap it up and just basically make sure your Monday is going just fine right here on Cliff Central. CliffCentral.com.